Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of the Radically Ambitious Podcast. My name is Greg Rillette, and as always, I'm joined by the professor, Brett Berkey. And in this episode, we are going to be sharing 4 things that you need to think about as you wrap up 2011. Let's go. Hey, what's going on? This is Greg, and as always, I'm joined by the professor, Brett Berkey. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? Just winding down the year, looking forward to the next one.
Yes, it's very exciting, and last week, we debuted episode 1 of the Radically Ambitious Podcast, and we're already back. We're on track for week 2.
Yes, we are. Yeah, that was a fun experience, and I'm glad we're going to work this out and keep it going, because this is definitely interesting.
It definitely is. And in episode 1, when I was doing editing, I was like, Brett, this might be entrepreneurial ADD to the max. Because, I mean, we talked about surfing and coupons and Evernote and Google Website Optimizer. But listen, at the end of the day, these are all things that entrepreneurs deal with on a daily basis.
That's so true. That is so true. Yeah, I mean, all those things work into it because, you know, the coupon thing works in if you're an entrepreneur, you're always looking at ways to cut costs. So, you know, if that makes total sense there. And if, you know, our entrepreneurs that we're probably targeting most are going to be online entrepreneurs. So all the tools we talked about there made sense. And what we do on our day off and the goal that we're trying to even get to be entrepreneurs is to have more time to do things like surfing. So I think it all makes sense to the We'll let the comments dictate that, but I'm sure we're on the right track.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an internet marketer, right? That's what I consider myself at the moment. And I don't just create landing pages all day, right? I'm fielding calls with people with products. I'm dealing with JVs. You know, I'm working on SEO. I'm dealing with stuff that my wife needs me to do. I'm going to get my oil changed. You know, like life is more than just landing pages and conversions and sales copy. There's so much more encompassing, and we want you to live a little more ambitiously as an entrepreneur. And these are all the things that you go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, which becomes one of the most important things is after that is just time management. I just went through a whole training series in lynda.com about time management. It was all about finding the clutter spots and, you know, only having a couple sources of where things can pile up. And it's, you know, basically how to optimize your time. And it's because of the multitude of things you're trying to manage all at one time. It's like, how do I streamline all this process so that I can actually focus on, you know, the business, and, you know, these other things can just kind of fade away and kind of put on an automated system, such as your receipts and making sure that you're getting your expenses. And, you know, so I used Shoebox and, you know, all those little and then, you know, the power of Evernote is the same.
Yeah, it really, really is crazy. And that's probably the question that I get asked the most, and I'm sure you're the same way, is how do you get all that stuff done? You know, so we're going to be talking a lot about that in future episodes. But right now, let's swing on to our first segment, the cool tools, apps, or tricks to have a better business and a better life.
It's fun. So we always usually go back and forth with some ideas. Greg, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this is all about. This socialadstool.com/wordstats. And it basically allows you to see what interests and keywords are getting clicked and impressions in your Facebook ads. That's pretty gangster right there. I'm going to open up the floor. Just tell me, just as you tell everyone else, you know, why we need this tool if you're running Facebook ads.
Yeah, so one of the best ways to get traffic right now is through Facebook and Facebook ads, because Facebook opens up really their entire social graph to you to market to. And one of the biggest things that I'm a proponent of is you want to always sell stuff to your ideal customer, right? The perfect person is who you want to be selling to. And Facebook gives you that opportunity because you can target 30-year-old males who have read the 4-hour work week, who are single and who live in a certain part of the world, right? Yeah. If that is your target customer, let's put ads in front of them because they're more likely to buy our stuff than a 65-year-old female who lives in Idaho. No offense to 65-year-old females in Idaho, but they're probably not buying the stuff that I'm selling. So Facebook allows you to do that. And what this word stats tool does, and the link will be in the show notes, but it's socialadstool.com /word-stats. And Social Ads Tool is actually a paid Facebook tool. We don't pay for it, but the Word Stats is a free tool that they offer to people who are kind of trying out their service, but it's free. You connect it to your Facebook account, and what happens is sometimes when you put an ad together, right? So right now I'm targeting financial planners for one of the campaigns I'm working on, and you know, in Facebook, it's not like Google where it's keywords, right? Mm-hmm. So like, it's not that I'm searching for financial planning services or whatever you might be looking for on Google. On Facebook, it's interests. So what are people mm-hmm. interested in, or what are their professions or their job types, or what school did they go to, things like that. So it's a little different, but sometimes when you create ads, you put multiple groups into one ad. So we're searching for certified financial planners, certified financial planner board of standards, financial advisor, financial planner, financial planning association, financial services, retirement planning, financial advisor with an ER, financial advisor with an OR. And we're targeting all these people in the same ad so that way we can reach a larger pool of people. But what Facebook doesn't tell you is who out of all those groups of interest, you know, style keywords is actually clicking on your ads. And what WordStats does is it has cool API stuff and technology things that are way beyond my scope, but it tells you which of those keywords are getting the impressions and the clicks, right? So right now, and what this really does is it allows you to only spend money on the interest words that are making you money, right? So So I have one out of all those words that I just mentioned, one of them was financial services. And in the last week, I'm looking at Word Stats right now, the ad has been shown to people who are interested in financial services 748,000 times. And it's been clicked on 30 times for a click-through rate of 0.004. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to certified financial planner, which has only been shown to people 12,000 times with one click with a 0.008. You know, those aren't great examples because the click to impression ratio aren't great. But now I can start to see that, well, man, financial services, it's been shown 750,000 times, only 30 clicks. Maybe that's not the right keyword, or maybe that is the right keyword to then, you know, kind of create a campaign around. So once I find the keywords that I like, that are getting good impressions, good clicks, well, now I can pull them out and create ads just for people in financial services. So I can create an ad where the title is Financial Services Professionals Needed, or just for financial services, or, you know, whatever the case is, and just create an ad for that ad group, which is really powerful. And if certified financial planner, if I was getting 100,000 impressions and no clicks, well, I'm going to stop using that keyword because it's costing me money every time I run that ad. So, well, really the point of this tool, and really the point of all marketing, is that you only want to spend money on what's making you money, not mm-hmm. on the things that aren't, right? So that's my big thing, is especially when I'm dealing with clients, is I don't want my clients spending money on keywords or interests or whatever that are just costing them money, right? I only want to spend money on what's making my business money. And really that's what this keyword tool does.
I like that tool, man. It's free?
It's totally free. When you go to the site, it'll say, hey, connect with your Facebook account, you know, the Facebook Connect stuff. You click a button and it automatically pulls up all your ads. You can sort by, if you're running campaigns for clients, you can sort by all the different accounts that you have. Then you can sort by the campaign. So if you're running multiple campaigns, you can either pull up all your ads or just by the campaign, or you can go as granular as the specific ad. So if you have one ad that you're targeting three different interest groups, you can just look at that ad and see which keywords are being clicked on. So really powerful for a free tool.
Wow. I'm impressed. I like it. I'm keeping it.
Super cool, man. Well, again, the link will be under the show notes, and I think it's about time to roll into this week's ambitious action plan.
You're gonna love this.
All right, Brett, it is that time of the year. You know, things are starting to slow down. We're starting to get ready for the holidays, Christmaka or the New Year, whatever you're looking to get into. And as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, it is the best time of the year to kind of reflect both on what's occurred over the past 365 days, but also to start looking forward and start building out your dreams, your goals, your ambitions for the new year. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down the four things that I feel are beyond important to think about, to brainstorm, to jot down as you finish up the year, both in your life and in your business. And Brett, before I jump into that, why don't you tell me a little bit about kind of what you're doing as the year ends to think about how you're going to set up 2012?
Well, I first off like to say that 2011, I know people say, wow, this year flew by. This year is just, I look back and I'm like, well, I was at something. Yeah, I was at that conference No, that was this year. I was like, wow, it seems like it was 2 years ago. This has been one hell of a year. But I've been, you know, looking back on all the, you know, different changes and strides and, you know, mistakes along the way and what I've learned and how I've grown. And it's a monumental year, I have to say. Some of the things I've realized and some of the things I'm going to be doing is, you know, I sort of really taken into effect the 80-20 rule of just everything, you know, just for business, of course, and then also for clients, because I've had some clients that pay me 20% of, and then taking 80% of the time. So, you know, really cutting those things out, looking at, you know, my client list now, and then which ones I can probably do without, and then also doing things of, you know, for the next year, what are the things, where do I want to put my time, where do I want to put my focus? You know, a lot of things this year have got me to a point financially where it's like, okay, the base is good. This is all great and gravy. I don't have to really worry about the client so much anymore. Because of this, where do I want to put my efforts and have things that actually grow? And, of course, this being one of them, of course, I want to make sure that this next year that we fulfill and all these ideas that we have set out for the podcast listeners and ourselves.
I love it. And I really can't believe 2011. I mean, if you looked at where both of us started, and that might be a topic for a different podcast, to where things are today at the end of December, it really is crazy. You know, starting the year off at Affiliate Summit West, yeah, to, you know, dealing with startups, to opening new companies, to mm-hmm. all the things that have happened, it really is a monumental shift. But these four things, and these are really four powerful things, and I just had a meeting with my team yesterday, the Product Pros, talking about how we're ending the year, the things that we like, the things that wake up and make us passionate and happy, things that don't make us happy, the things that stress us out or get us angry, and it really takes a lot to look at those things and be like, you know, next year, we're going to make a conscious effort. We're going to make an actual game plan to not do those things, mm-hmm. and to do more of the things that, you know, make us a lot of money, put a smile on our face, you know, help clients out and add more value to the world. So the first thing really digs into what I just said. I want you to answer this question. Are the things that you are doing in your business giving you fulfillment, making you happy, and moving your business forward? And moving your business forward both in revenue and your profits and in the eyes of your customers. Because a lot of people get into business for many different reasons. And what I found is starting multiple businesses over my lifetime, and I'm still a young guy, is that the businesses that make me the most money are the ones that put a smile on my face. The mm-hmm. ones where I'm just trying to game the system and trying to make some quick cash, it stresses me out. I get into, you know, technical issues that I don't know what I'm dealing with. I start, you know, double thinking things. When I look back at what I'm doing, you know, what are the things that give myself fulfillment? I can come home to my wife and I can be like, listen, Jen, you know, I just helped this client today, started his business. We just created this product for him. He got on stage and sold like 50 of them from the stage. That is so fulfilling. Mm-hmm. To what I do versus throw up a couple affiliate sites and, you know, sold some, you know, you know, and just being stressed out. But really, the fulfillment in making you happy is going to move your business forward. So I want you to think right now, list out the things that make you happy in your business. And I want you to answer that question first. All right. The second question is, do you have a game plan for how you're going to start 2012? And what I mean by this is, we all say, and we all do it, I'm guilty of this, and Brett, you're probably guilty of this too, is, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get to that. In 2012, things are going to be different. But do you actually have a game plan for how you're going to start 2012? And my wife and I, we talked about this a little in the last podcast, is one of my ambitions is for the new year, I'm going to be in Puerto Rico surfing. And one of the reasons we scheduled that trip for New Year's Eve and through the new year is because I wanted to start 2012 doing the things that I want to do in mm-hmm. 2012. So instead of going Christmas week or instead of going at the beginning of December, we said, no, we're going to go from December 30th to January 4th or 5th, and I'm going to start the new year exactly where I want to be. I mentioned in the last one, like Sean Ogle's top 10 offices of 2011.
Yeah.
I'm starting my year at the office that I want to end the year at. And I think that's really important is, you know, same thing with this podcast. We started it in the middle of December because we're like, why wait to January to start this thing? Let's build some momentum. People aren't podcasting as much at the, around Christmas time and around New Year's. It's an opportunity for us to get into the market and not wait. So think about what you're going to do on January 1st.
No, I'm right there with you. I've already kind of planned out the things from last year, and I actually completed a lot of my goals, which a lot of more of my goals in terms of a lot of the business things, I'm very flexible with the ideas because you never know how it's going to happen. But there are things in my personal life that I have a little bit more control of, like one of my hobbies is photography and another one's cooking. And so how do I work those into my weekends? And, you know, how do I get better and the things that I can do and learn? And, you know, I learned how to do HDR photography this past year and doing a lot of paleo diet type cooking and paleo diet type cooking. I always say it wrong. But you know, but those type of things, you know, worked it in the business side. I kind of have some like financial goals of where I want to hit. I would say also too, don't get too down if you don't get to it, because things change. You know, this especially online, it's a fast moving world. So
you got it, man. You got it. But really, just know where you want to be January 1st and make a plan to get there. Is really where I want to get with that point. All right, number three. Create a project and marketing calendar. All right. What I mean by this is, when are you planning on releasing that free ebook? When are you planning on launching a product? When are you planning on doing an affiliate promotion? When are you planning on going on a trip? When are you planning to go to conferences? So all the stuff for you, but then also start scheduling in everything else that's happening in your market. Just because you aren't going to a conference, make sure that's on your calendar, because if you have a big affiliate promotion that you're doing at a week where everyone's at Affiliate Summit, well, no one's going to read your emails.
Sounds familiar.
So, you know, start making this calendar. And right now, I have a calendar for the first 5 months of the year. And that's really as far as I could get. But I really took this to heart. So I know exactly what emails are going out, what I'm promoting, what products are coming out. This sets hard deadlines for me so I can get things done, so I can make sure that I have lead time, production time, I can deal with my team, that I know when I have to have email copy done, when I need to have my promotional partners set, when I need to know when I'm going out of town, when I need to have my assistant book my plane tickets. Everything is really systematized. You don't have to break it down that much. I think it's great if you do, but really start to look at a project and marketing calendar, because something's going to happen. And, you know, being in the internet world, and even if you're an offline business, you have so much stuff going on that you don't even think about stuff. And then you'll do a promotion. You know, if you're a local business and, you know, you wanted to do an in-store, you know, buy one, get one free. Everybody come in the store, do a buy one, get one free. And you do a direct mail piece and you do a TV commercials and all this stuff. But it's election day and everybody's out voting. You know, you picked the wrong day because you didn't have this calendar set in place. And same thing goes in the online world. You know, if a big guru is doing a launch and you're trying to launch on the same day, you're not going to get the affiliate partners you would get if they weren't having a launch on the same day. You know, so start looking at things that are happening in and around your market. It's really, really important.
Wow, I came 5 months. Look at you go, man. Where'd you find the time to do that?
We scheduled the time in our calendar to plan for the next 5 months.
Well, that's good.
It's not an easy thing to do, but so cool. Yeah. So that's three. Create a project and marketing calendar. Number four is, I want you to reflect. And this is something that I started probably in the middle of the year. And every Saturday or Sunday, I wake up pretty early before, and my wife sleeps in, and it gives me time to reflect on the past week. And I actually got this idea from Rich Sheffrin down at Strategic Profits. It was an email he sent out to Founders Club members. I remember getting it and I was just like, man, this is powerful to reflect on all the things. Because, you know, we go through our day-to-day and everything's just like, yeah, it was just a normal day, right? When you're telling your wife that, or you're telling your partner that, or you're telling a buddy, you know, and you grab a beer on a Friday night, like, how was your week? Oh, it was good. You know, some stuff happened. I don't remember what it was. But when you go back and you answer these questions, you really like, actually, a lot of stuff happened this week. I learned a lot. I talked to a lot of people. I progressed in the past week. And it really makes you, you know, it gives you that confidence that and that momentum that, Man, if I did all that this week, imagine if I could take that into play and put it into play next week. So what I have is it's a list of 16 questions, and I'm not going to go through all 16 now because we're running kind of tight on time. But I'm going to go through a couple of them, and you'll have all these questions in the show notes. And what I want you to do is I want you, whether it's on your iPad or your Kindle, an old school notebook, or whether you're just talking these questions out, really do this. And I do it every single week. I answer the majority of these questions, all right? The first one is, what did I learn last week? What did you learn? What TV did you watch? Did you watch any news? Did you learn anything about the political situations happening? Did you go through any home study courses? Did you go through any books? A lot of times I read a lot of books, but I read them so passively that I forget the information that I really learned, right? Mm-hmm. So I read about a book a week, and I look back at the end of the month, I'm like, I don't remember anything from the book I read the first. So by going back and doing this, I can be like, I remember in that chapter, he mentioned this and this and this and this. So when you do it on a weekly basis, you can really remember the things that you learn. And if your answer is you didn't learn anything, then you're not doing enough. Go out and learn, because a big part of living to me is learning. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I can only do that if I'm learning, if I'm talking to people, if I'm reading things, I'm watching things, I'm connecting, I'm networking. You know, learning is really vital to living.
It's very vital. I mean, that's like proven. Like a lot of people that retire, if they don't do anything with their mind goes, all right, well, I guess we're done. And then they just kind of dwindle. But, you know, like the people that, you know, stay constantly moving, making synapses happen in their head and creating new connections in their brain, those people live on, you know, and they, you know, they have something that, I mean, that's whatever. That's a long conversation. Never mind. Keep going.
Let's roll. All right. So the next question, it's actually number three on the list, is, which moment from last week was the most memorable and why? And it doesn't have to be in your business. It could be from your personal life too. So what thing in your life was the most memorable? And that's going to give you a big outlook onto what actually matters in your life. So Brad, I'm putting you on the spot. What moment from last week was the most memorable in your life?
We did dad-dad-daughter time, which you call rock and roll. And so that was pretty cool. We went to, where did we go? I got our hair cut, went and played at the playground, and then that's pretty much it. But it was, you know, you put me on the spot, so that's the first thing I could think of. But it was pretty memorable. I like it, you know, and it means a lot to me. And, it's, you know, that's what's important.
Yeah, well, you hit it on the head right there, because when you look back at the most memorable moment, it really tells you what's important to your life, what makes you smile. And if that was the first thing that came to your head, I personally know that's really important to you. So that's really, really cool. So moving on, number eight, what opportunities are still on the table? And this is one that when you start to think about it, you're like, holy crap, I forgot to call John. He was going to order a ton of stuff for me, and I just forgot to call him. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's an event this week I haven't registered for yet, or whatever the case is, but there's always opportunities still on the table. It really opens up your eyes, and you start to think about some easy wins, you know, or maybe some unfinished business, or whatever the case is, but really think about those opportunities that you just really, really forgot about. Number nine I like a lot. Is there anyone I've been meaning to talk to? Right? So start to think about, man, I haven't talked to him in a long time, and I bet if we had a conversation, I'd learn something, or he might know someone that I can talk to, or whatever it is. We get so caught up with Facebook, with Twitter, with email, that we think we talk to more people than we really do. Mm-hmm. Right? So just because I saw Brett, you know, I remember you posted a picture from Daddy Daughter Day. So,
that's right.
But just because you posted that picture doesn't mean that I actually talked to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually have a conversation. We didn't further develop, right? So really think about someone that you've been meaning to talk to, and then go talk to them. Send them an email saying, hey, what's up, Brett? You got 10 minutes this week. I'd love to just get you on Skype or on the phone and just catch up. Because those conversations really, they mean a lot to people, because you're reaching out to them and making them feel important that you reached out to them to have a conversation. You never know where conversations are going to lead. And it's really, really going to be cool. So number 15, I like a lot. What are my fears? So are you afraid of letting a client down? Are you afraid of not having the right Christmas present for your wife? Are you afraid of, what are you afraid of, right? A lot of guys don't tend to think about fears, but when you really think about fears, it allows you to overcome them, because you can start thinking about, well, what's the worst case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing that could happen if I let this client down, or if I get the wrong present, or if I don't get this done on time, or if I don't hit my deadline, or whatever it is, what's the worst case scenario? Think about that, because then you start thinking of things to prevent that from ever happening.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
So there's a big list. There's 16 of these things. I don't expect you to answer all 16 of them every week. I don't. And some of them, you know, they overlap and they're kind of similar. But, you know, it's a really great list. I'm looking at another one. Number 10, is there anyone who deserves a big thank you? You know, send a thank you card in the mail. Send them some flowers. Send them a pizza. You know, whatever you got to do just to say thank you to someone. But these things will really make an impact on your life. And I don't think there's a better time than at the end of the year when you're reflecting anyway on the year. Then to start answering these questions and get into the routine and get into the habit of answering them. So I know this went a little longer than I wanted it to go, but very, very powerful, these four things. So real quick, the recap, are there things that you're doing in your business that are giving you fulfillment, making you happy, and moving your business forward? Answer those, write those down, just quick bullet points. What makes you happy? What gives you fulfillment? And what's moving your business forward? Number two, where are you going to start 2012? Because that's going to be a good indicator of where you're going to end 2012, all right? Number three, create a project and marketing calendar. Open up Google Calendar and start putting stuff in there right now. And number four, answer some of these questions and reflect on your past week. I encourage you to do it on a weekly basis. If you do, shoot me an email with your answers and I'll hook you up with some kind of prize. I got some kind of info courses or something I can give you. But, you know, answer those questions and I'll totally hook you up. And that wraps up this week's ambitious actions. Brett, let's rock on to the ambitions and accountability. All right, so Brett, we are talking about ambitions and accountability, and the reason we do this is because we want to hold ourselves accountable to our listeners, because we want them to feel like they can have us hold them accountable for the things that they're doing in their life and in their business. Last week, we talked about two ambitions. One was getting out of debt, Brett. I know that's a really, really big thing on the top of your mind. And we also talked about some of my surfing adventures. This week, we're just going to focus on you. And we're going to focus on how you've progressed in the last week. I'm putting you on the hot seat right now. We're going to talk about what have you done in the last week to really drill down in the debt. I know a week's not a long time, right? Yeah. But because we actually went out on the air and talked about it, I'm sure it gave you some more push to go and do some stuff. So let's talk about it.
I mean, I've been doing it longer than last week, but I usually have any type of balances or anything like that sent to my cell phone first thing in the morning. I wake up to a couple buzzes on my phone. Bzz, 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 and it's always usually the bank accounts I have with exact amounts of what's in there, and exact amounts of what kind of debts. If you see it every day, you get the number. It's ingrained in your head. I don't have to. I barely ever go to the websites for any of these, any type of financial place like that. It's all done through my phone. But the point of that's all that to say is that I know exactly what's coming in towards the end of the year and what needs to go out, and everything else is paid for. And this week I went and collected money, and drove around and, you know, got some that came through online and it's done. So, I mean, I don't think it's all hit yet. You know, so I did it through my bank, and then, you know how that's like 3 or 4 days out or whatever like that. So I haven't actually got the updates yet from the different, like where I've borrowed the Capital One card. It hasn't all reflected yet, but it's done in terms of the money came in, got into the bank, put it in there, sent it back out. And now I'm, kind of looking forward to having a lighter pile of stuff in my mailbox.
So does that mean you're completely done with the credit cards? You got one out there that's still lurking? What's the situation like?
Oh, no, it's done. I mean,
so we're done.
Yeah, well, so, I'm going to keep, you know, the cards open because you don't want to close it because it's bad for your score. But I want to also keep, I believe in keeping one card just, you know, In case I needed something. You know, I have the emergency account, but it's for emergencies. And so, I mean, the card, sometimes it can't be a bad thing. I think if you understand how to manage it the right way, some credit can be okay. It's good. Like a line of credit, I have one. For business things, sometimes you can't miss an opportunity. You need to take action. And if you don't have it right then and you're waiting for stuff to come in, what are you going to do? You know, so.
I like it. So, So you're able to clear out these cards. That's a huge step. And, you know, this isn't something that you've just been working with over the last week. You've been doing it for a little bit of time. But it is something that is vitally important. As an entrepreneur, one of the only ways to get wealthy is when you don't owe anyone else money.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what to do, and they know you need to do this. It's just a matter of, you know, actually doing it. I mean, one of the people that inspired me a little bit is, you know, just a good friend is Chris Persaud. He did the Dave Ramsey thing, and he was done in like a month. And I was like, what did you eat? You know, like, you know, did you just eat air for like, I mean, how did you do that? And so it was like, what the hell? You know, if he can do it, I can do it. And so that was kind of like the kick in the, I'm going to say the butt, I guess, you know, kicking the butt to say, okay, come on, you got it. The money's there. Just do it. That was my determining factor. So I want to give him a call and be like, all right, I did it too. So I'm at the club.
Well, that's awesome. I applaud you for that. And, you know, as we wrap up this week's, you know, ambitions and accountability, I want you guys in the comments to really leave us some of the things that you're working on, because this is really, really powerful to have a community of like-minded entrepreneurs out there who are all working towards similar goals. We're all here to back you up. We're here to answer your questions, ask your questions, and all that good stuff. And if you enjoy some of the stuff that Brett and I are talking about here on the Radically Ambitious Podcast, we would appreciate it if you head on over to iTunes, where you can now download the Radically Ambitious Podcast. Leave us a review, and we will shout you out, just like Greg QE, the quiet entertainer, one of the best DJs in Nashville, Tennessee, who left us a 5-star review, and he said, I just heard a pretty good episode. I learned about a couple new websites that I hadn't been using, ZingSale and Google Website Optimizer, and a lot of good info on another site that I wasn't using properly, which was Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is going to be a great podcast with a lot of value for me and an essential companion for entrepreneurs. Big shout out, quiet entertainer. If you guys want to leave us any feedback, we would truly appreciate it in iTunes. Leave us a cool review or tell us that, hey, I don't know what these guys are talking about. Either way. We're having a good time. But you can subscribe in iTunes. It's pretty cool. You know, just for in a week, we're already up and running on iTunes, and you can thank the Professor Brett Berkey for that one.
Yeah, that was nice. It's another one of those accomplishments from last. I'll make that next week when I reflect. I learned how to do that. So
nice. Awesome. So. Well, here is this week's inspirational hip hop quote of the week. It comes from my man, Jay-Z, from a song called Beach Chair, where he said, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not trying. And I encourage all of you to try with this week's questions in the Ambitious Action Plan. A lot of good stuff for you there. And I can't wait to hear what some of you guys think. So, Brett, episode 2 in the bags.
Yeah, man. So, this is probably reach back out to you guys until after Christmas and, you know, the holidays. So, Hope your Sunday's great, and hope you get everything you asked for. If you've been naughty and you know who you are, then, well, better luck next year.
We will talk to you guys again soon on the Radically Ambitious Podcast. For Greg and Brett, we'll see you next time.